And we're going to ask Brother Heath to come and share his heart. He was chosen because he has known Brother Blue longer than any of us. And also, I believe Brother Heath's dad had an influence in Brother Blue's life as well.
That may not be quite true. There may be some others here that have known Brother Blue for about as long as I have. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. I'm glad to have this pastoral staff in spitting distance. Sister Mary, we miss you. Wish you could have been here. Seniors pastor, not senior pastor, but seniors pastor, Brother Rick and Mary Cruz. Children's pastor, Sister Ruth Maggard. And interim pastors, Brother and Sister Blue, or Pastor Blue and Sister Blue, we might say. Do you remember that evening, early evening, we were standing outside, July 21st, watching a balloon go up in the sky and the feelings you felt? Was there some unease? I think I saw some tears. Concern. That was a rough day. And then the next Sunday, I was up here and I was trying to tell you, the hearse have left, but we still have a shepherd. And that shepherd provided us a under shepherd, an interim pastor. You still have those same feelings today? Or do you feel more relaxed, more confident? A large part of that is due to our interim pastor. The announcement of this event said it would include a special speaker. You can see who that speaker is now. It remains to be seen how special he is. I think the thinking was, I really can't qualify as a guest speaker because, you know, this is my church, not really a guest. So I guess the term special was deemed the appropriate adjective for today's event. Pastor Appreciation Day. Was this always a thing to do? Those under 25 years old, they may say yes. Those of us who are older than 25 years will probably say no. This wasn't always a thing. Now, Becky and I, my wife, we're called PKs. We're preacher's kids. Micah, we share that together. We have a more intimate knowledge than many of you about this subject of pastor appreciation. Some congregations do not realize the value of their pastor until he leaves. Then they appreciate him. Some other churches are different. I'm glad this church did not. It knew the value of what it had before they left. I'm glad for that. But we may not have realized all that they meant until they were gone. Some churches, before this became a thing to do a pastor appreciation time every year, they would show special appreciation at special occasions like a birthday or anniversary. But I wonder, do we appreciate the work, the time, and commitment there is needed for the pastoral role? Yesterday, I met with one of my customers, and he gave me keys to 7 of his rentals. He goes to Florida for the winter, and he wants me to be on call for any maintenance issues. And he half jokingly said, you know, this is a 24/7 job. I remember a time when my father, who, as I said before, was a pastor, he left with us on a vacation from Pennsylvania, where we lived, to Maine, northern Maine, like a mile from Canada, where my mother was born and lived, and we would go there every summer. That was an 18-hour drive. We'd gotten to southern Maine when he was informed that a close relative of one of his parishioners had died. If I remember right, I think he was in the hospital when we left and sick. My father rented a car, drove back to Pittsburgh to do the funeral, and he left after the funeral and drove back to meet us, who had stayed behind in his RV at a campground. And when they were on, we continued the vacation. Pastoring is a 24/7 job. In 1992, the company Hallmark began to produce clergy appreciation cards for Clergy Appreciation Month, which was October. Then in 1994, James Dobson, and Focus on the Family, really began to promote this idea of Pastor Appreciation Day or Month. And Pastor Appreciation became a thing the churches began to do. The second Sunday of October is normally the one that is generally recognized as Pastor Appreciation Day. But we should, throughout the year, show signs of love for our pastoral staff. But it is good to set a specific time to focus our attention on that. And that's what we want to do. Now, when I was asked to be this special speaker, I find myself in the dilemma. Who do I preach to? Do I preach to Pastor and Sister Blue and Brother and Sister Cruz and Sister Ruth? Or do I preach to the congregation of Union Pentecostal Church? When I expressed my dilemma to my wife, she said, both. So here we go. You know, there is a biblical basis for what we're doing here. The Apostle Paul, a pioneer of many churches and organizing them with leaders, he wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. If you need to stand for a scripture reading, this will probably be the time to do it. We're going to have two here in a row. This will be the time. We'll have other scriptures too. But this is the biblical basis of one of them for what we're doing today. Paul told Timothy, who was kind of a pastor of pastors, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. If you want to remain still standing, because I'm going to read from the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You may be seated. I'd like to show you a little video clip here to kind of give us a little idea of what Pastor Appreciation Day may look like through the lenses of children. Do we have that ready to go, by the way?
They preach for the
I think money. We don't have the picture
and
up
they
here.
They do like baptizing, like put your hand under.
Okay, maybe. I'm going to try to redo this probably so you can see the children. There we go.
The Bible?
Pastor worships
for the Bible?
And they do like baptizing, like put your hand under.
We'll try it again. There we go.
Okay.
It looks like we have some technical difficulties here. Maybe we'll get it worked out. Anybody remember Art Linkletter? Kids say the funniest things. Huh? That's for us who are 50 and over. Mm-hmm. maybe we'll skip over there. Oh, there we go. There we go.
They preach for the Bible, and they do like baptizing, like put your hand under, and you're raised by that. The pastor is who teaches you something. Read the Bible. Pastor worships and cleans the stairs and couches if they're dirty. He loves us. An ice cream cone, broccoli, mac and cheese, and fruit and vegetables.
Probably burgers, because they love them because they have really good flavor and they can choose what they want on it. Pasta.
Why do you think pasta?
Because it has the P and A.
Is church fun?
What did God lead me to do?
What kind of food do you like?
If he could do the ice cream social every day.
Maybe 30? 61. 42. 2? I don't know. 10 minutes? 10 minutes? Maybe 10 minutes?
1,000 days.
A Halloween card. A robot present. Headphones, maybe? A Bible.
Maybe a Bible?
Every pastor has a Bible, so it's not gonna be a Bible. I would probably give them the powerful gift of Jesus.
A-Z-K-E-V-K-E-R-S-E-V-K-E-E-T-E-H-G. My dad.
Daddy.
My dad.
My daddy.
So we can preach for the gospel because they tell us all about Jesus or God, and that's why we have pastors, so that they'll help us learn.
Thank you, pastors. Amen. Where does a pastor come from? Amos, the Old Testament prophet, was being challenged by the priest about the legitimacy of his prophecy of doom. And his response in the book of Amos, chapter 7, verses 14 and 15 is, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah," that was the priest, "I am no prophet. Neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel." Amos said he had no family history of prophets. He was an ordinary rancher and a gatherer. But the Lord took him out of his ordinary life and gave him a message and a calling. I am not a pastor. I am the son of a pastor and married to a daughter of a pastor. But where does an interim pastor come from? I was told one of the reasons, and it was mentioned already, I was selected to speak was because of my long acquaintance with our interim pastor, Mike Blue. 48 years ago, my path crossed with his. He enrolled at Free Gospel Bible Institute in the midterm, which I believe was January of 1976. When he came, you could post that next slide if you would. He came and was known by two names. You will see his name was Michael Arnold, but he also went by the name of Mike Blue. One was a legal name, and one, I guess, is one he preferred. And this was the result of being in a dysfunctional family. His father was an alcoholic, and his mother was married several times. He was not the son of a prophet. You know, we can look around here. We don't know who the next pastor is going to be. They don't have to come from my pastor's family. They can come from a very dysfunctional family. That's what God can do. And if you're here today and you might put yourself in that same category, God can do something with you if you turn to Him. Amen. I appreciate our interim pastor for the years of spiritual growth in spite of his background. Where do pastors come from? Well, let me tell you about another pastor. He was an immigrant to America at the age of 9, came from Norway. His mother was running from an alcoholic and abusive husband. She remarried. Her son served in the U.S. Army in World War II. He pastored 4 churches over a 45-year span. Another unlikely family situation from which a pastor would come. There was another pastor. He was a shy farm boy from New Hampshire. He went on to Bible school in Rhode Island, and he ended up pastoring 2 churches over a 50-year period. Where do pastors come from? From where you might not think. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble were called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Pastors can come from the most unlikely places and circumstances. So I want to focus in on our interim pastor a little more, his background and where he came from. When he came to Free Gospel Bible Institute, who were some of his classmates? Sitting here amongst us, Deborah Helferstein, son of Gavon Boggs back there. Who were some of his other classmates? Brother Hoffman. And then another one you know by Mike Pettit, a missionary that we support to the Philippines. Who was his one dorm roommate? Not one. I mean, there was 4 of us in a room, probably, in that small room. That was his first term when we were roommates together. I have a note of caution to young people. Treat your peers well, because you do not know where or what they will become and how they will relate to you in the future. My underclassman is now my pastor. And for Pastor Blue, one of his doormates is one of his board members. So treat people well. You'll never know where you're going to meet them again and what position. As an upperclassman, I did not interact that much with him that one semester we had together. We did not have the same classes, of course, being different year levels. We did not really share the same friends that I remember of, although we shared the same room for a while. I also had another thing on my mind that semester. I was looking forward to the marriage to my first wife, who was also my present wife. And at the end of the second year, as Brother Blue mentioned in Sunday school this morning, my pastor father engaged him to come help him at his church for the summer with the youth in our church, or my father's church. And also, since my father not only pastored a church, he also worked on the side, and we did some jobs together, working together that summer. He mentioned something about being on roof and shingling, and we were running all over the roof, and he was there shaking with fear. Since I moved out that summer and getting married, I guess you took my bedroom. And you took my place in the family vacation to Maine that summer. After we got married, graduated from Bible school, we ended up going to Africa, to Sierra Leone. Our paths crossed again in the 1980s. Brother Blue came to Africa on a missions trip that was led by Gene Huff and Jerry Back. And we shared a ministry there in Africa for a while, a few days. One thing I do remember about Brother Blue then is him telling me when he was getting ready to come back home that he wanted to leave with an empty suitcase. He wanted to give all his clothes away except for the necessary ones to fly back in to people who would be in need. And I appreciate this characteristic of our interim pastor, his character of giving. Back when he was talking with Chris Balls, who had been a member of this church previously, but when Brother Balls was in the Philippines, I understand you made a trip to the Philippines on a mission trip. I think both of you were there. Yeah. And Brother Balls noticed how that you paid attention to the Philippine culture. You examined it, watched it, and you modified your ministry to be more effective to the Filipino people, and they really appreciated your ministry there. So that's another thing about our interim pastor I appreciate his adaptability. Of course, the Blues have been our Camp Dove speaker for many years, but now we have known them as interim pastor. An interim pastor is a bridge. He's been helping us to cross over from Brother Hurst to our new pastor-elect Kenneth Cruz. He has not been a swinging or rickety or scary bridge, but he has been a strong and steady and a secure bridge. He has been our bridge and will continue to be our bridge till probably at least November 17th then. In his life, he has had a major life change from his early years as a teenager in that dysfunctional family to close to 50 years in the ministry now. And he can help someone else that may be in that position. If you find yourself here today, you find yourself with, you're living a life where either because of your wrongs you have done, decisions you have made, or because of the circumstances of other people that are close to you that have brought you into a position of life where you are troubled, discouraged, not seeing any real purpose in your life, I believe Pastor Blue would love to help you today. In fact, probably one of the best things that could happen on Pastor Appreciation Day would be for him to lead someone across the bridge from a life of darkness and sin to a life of repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ, a land of light, a land with hope. Father, we thank you that you have worked in our church, that you have brought together our church with Brother Blue in this special arrangement for this rather short period of time. We thank you for providing him for us, helping us through this transition. But God, here today, I would like to give an opportunity for those who may be able to relate to his early years. They need to find a transition in their own life, a change out of the trouble they're in. I'd ask the congregation if you just keep your eyes closed and pray, and we'd like to give an opportunity. If someone is in that position, you would like Pastor Blue to help you over a bridge from darkness to light, that you would come to the front of the church, this altar, and he along with others will be able to help you in that situation. Amen. God can do great things, really. He has done great things for our church. What I would like us to do is for each of us to have an opportunity to express our appreciation to our pastoral staff. So we're going to have like a receiving line. They're going to be seated here, and we're going to be going back to eat at Von Hall. But if, before we do that, if you'd like to walk up here and greet each of them individually, express your thanks, then leave and go over to Von Hall, that would be good. We're going to have a prayer now for the meal so we can have that blessed and be ready to start again in Von Hall. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given to us. It's a good day because you have helped us to have Brother Blue come and be our interim pastor. God has helped us to feel secure, steady, confident, have some peace in our church. I thank you, Lord, for this congregation and the way they have been through this transition time and have taken up positions, and their spirit has been good. We felt your spirit so many times in these recent weeks, very strong. We thank you for that. As Father, as we partake of the food in the back, nourish our bodies, as we fellowship with one another, nourish our soul and spirits. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So anyone that would like to come forward and express your own personal appreciation to the pastoral staff, you can do that and then make your way over to Vaughn Hall.
See you.